So nefarious, so nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life. Don't let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say. Ask him for my opinion, this way.
Would you like some newspapers, some other stuff?
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome, everybody, to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 99 of the Octavarius Podcast. I guess without any further ado, let's go over to Makula and sound off.
Hey, it's Makula.
Hey, it's Brian Wool.
Hey, it's Lisa Ritterelli.
You got Chris Bogue.
Matt Castelvi here.
Matthew.
Hey, it's Lauren.
Matt Tins.
K. Douglas H.
Aloha, it's Mark.
Scott Michael Danielson the first.
Great. This is a very, very special episode of the podcast because we are one podcast away from 100. Not quite at 100, but
don't tell Scott.
Which I guess we're taking next week off of rehearsal and everything, right? So I guess that would make episode 100 the. I guess that would make that the first podcast of the new year, would it not?
That's right.
January 2nd.
We're going to be doing something crazy for that one.
Oh, yeah. It's all in the plans. We're going to come up with games. We're going to have it in three different languages.
And dimensions.
Stop talking now.
Yeah.
We're going to have a pony.
Oh, what? God. I'll bring my little pony.
No, you won't.
Oh, don't forget, one of the Octavarius crew is going to drink a full jar of poison.
What poison? You get to vote.
We'll have that on the website by tomorrow.
Arsenic or rat?
Anyway, shit, where's the mailbag?
Scott actually has it in honor of our 99th episode.
I do. Would you like me to open it for you, Mark?
Please.
Let me hand it to you and open it first.
I'll read it after you open it.
Wow.
Oh.
Festive.
Well, this one comes to us
from who?
From Mr. New Year Ball. Mr. New Year Ball.
New Year?
New Year.
New Year.
N-E-W-Y-E-R. New Year.
His last name's Ball?
New Year in my office.
Well, Ball's a fairly popular last name, I assume.
New Year, not a popular
among
last
balls.
Name.
Mr. Ball writes, oh my God, you guys. 2011 is basically over. I mean, we've got holidays and stuff, but that's all going to go by so fast because I love presents. And I'm just trying to take a second to remember 2011, but I could sure as heck use your help. What's up with that?
You know, I personally am really... I don't know, I feel sad that 2011 is ending because it's been such a monumental year. I really wish that when January came, we just had it still be 2011.
Yeah, I totally agree. This year has been fucking
this
awesome.
This year has really been epic. So great.
Yeah,
and it started out.
I
forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
We went to LA.
Oh,
we went to Ohio, yes, Lauren.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We did the show with wrestlers. That was all of that
wrestlers.
Year.
Wow.
A wrestling show.
Yeah, 2011 is like my becoming an adult year.
Me too.
Like, it was the first year, like, I finally moved out of the suburbs and moved to the cities, the multiple cities that I live in. And, you know, I got, like, a job. I got, like a full-time job. And now Octavarius got a 10-month run. And we're doing, like, all this crazy stuff. And, like, this is the year I feel like I've actually come, like, you know, cross that line, and now I'm like a man living on my own.
I played a lot of video games this year.
You did?
I feel.
Did you beat your record of last year?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow, what'd you end up with?
I'm at 33 for this year.
And last year,
you know, three times three is nine.
Nine.
You played 33 video games this year?
I did.
Holy shit.
Played or beat? Like, you beat 33?
No, he doesn't play video games. He beats them.
I beat them. I don't play.
End of submission.
He beats them.
Don't forget, we had a horrible winter, like, beginning of 2011, so, like, I didn't go out at all, like, I mean, there were times like Castelvi was doing a show at Comedy Sports, and at that point in time, we lived 2 minutes away. Sorry, Castelvi. And I would walk outside and be like, it's too cold.
We made a rap album during the snowpocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
We were voted best improv group and sketch group by the readers of the Chicago Reader in 2011.
I remember how 2011 began with Lauren yelling, 2011, feeling a blevin.
I wrote it down in my iPhone's notes section because it was so such a ridiculous thing for her to exclaim. But she ended up being right. It was totally a blevin.
This has been the most blevin year ever, guys.
Ever.
You again.
I feel like no matter what this year was, I would have retroactively labeled it a blevin, and that's how I would have discovered what a blevin meant. But I'm really glad that a blevin is so awesome.
A blevin has to be uplifting. It just sounds
Why?
Like it.
Why is it?
To me, it kind of sounds like blah. A blevin.
What does a blevin mean to you, Lauren?
I'm going to preface this with, was New Year's, and I was really drunk.
She said, for some reason, cautiously.
Yeah, why?
People might judge me.
Most humans are drunk on New Year's.
This is true.
Or all the time.
Yeah. I was just feeling really good. I was in a good place. I was really excited about Octavarius and all the friends I was hanging out with. It was like the first New Year's where, like, I didn't build it up and it wasn't a letdown of any kind. Like, I just was having a good time. It met all my expectations. It was super fun, and I was really feeling like on a good, high or cloud nine or whatever.
Just
you want.
Stuff full of Orbit Room macaroni and cheese, I assume.
I'm sorry, what cloud was that?
Come on.
Cloud nine!
Wow. Nice. That kind of podcast.
Nick says with a bottle.
I didn't know Salacious Crumb was on the mic.
The way this champagne looks. It looks like Mikula stole a bottle of church wine. It can taste it like church wine.
I mean,
since we've
admitted that the mailbag today was a bottle of champagne, Scott, would you mind recounting this tale again?
Yeah, sure.
Very funny.
So I was trying to be a nice friend, and on the way over to the podcast, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm right by a liquor store. I'll stop by, get a couple bottles of champagne. I have another one, by the way, guys, that we can still
fuck
open.
Yeah, dude.
Nice. Oh, dude, grab a bottle.
We're gonna get crazy.
And you know, I'm gonna pick up a couple bottles of champagne, celebrate episode 100 of this great podcast.
What was the liquor store around?
Like Lawrence and California.
So that's where Shogun lives around.
Right around there. Right around the corner, actually. Go get him. Apartment number 10.
Huh. Oh, my God.
That's not true. Anyway, so I pick up the bottles of champagne, and I'm driving over here, proud of myself for being a good guy. And I think to myself, you know what? I'm pretty sure this is episode 99 this week. Turns out I was right. And so we got some good episode 99 champagne.
Yeah.
What's the, do you recall the name of this champagne?
It's called Cold Duck.
It is. I saw it.
Excellent.
I'm a sucker for animal name wines and champagnes.
Not so much Mallard.
I like that's like purple.
It's very purple champagne.
Juice.
But this year has been very interesting outside of Octavarius stuff.
Are you talking about just the world?
Yeah.
Did you also Wikipedia 2011?
I bung it. I have the top 10 from Inquisitor and Forbes. So
Okay.
Most of them.
I want to know how those two differ, actually.
Actually, they're very much the same. They only differ in, you know, style of writing. They have essentially the exact same stories. If you'd like me to do the 10,
yeah, quickly. Yeah. Can you go from 10 to 1 though, so
I'll
it gets more exciting?
I'll do it from 10 to 1. The number 10 is Gabriel Gifford's assassination attempt.
Oh yeah,
that was
Gabby.
Big news.
Missed that.
You were on the road when that happened.
Congresswoman got shot. People thought it was a Tea Partier.
Yeah, it was at Arizona.
That was just earlier this year.
Yeah. Vaguely remember that.
It was crazy because her aides, you know, helped her and one took a bullet. It was crazy.
Number 9 is the whole Occupy Wall Street movement.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Which has been very prevalent. It's still ongoing, so
yeah,
it's hard
crazy
to, it's hard
that
to think
it's
that
still
it was
going.
like that that happened. It's still happening.
People got pepper sprayed in the face.
Still are getting pepper
Although,
sprayed.
One thing I found out was that when Huffington Post used our picture for the trial of the O'Leary Cow show,
What a great show.
I took a screenshot of HuffPost front Chicago front page at that time, and I noticed it a couple of weeks ago, and another headline next to that picture of Mikula as a cow in sunglasses. The other headline is like, Occupy Wall Street, 2 weeks in, now what?
Wow. Number eight is the U.S. credit rating downgraded.
That's pretty boring. Government incompetence. So they can't get anything done. Okay. But, money taught me that.
I remember when they, like right before that happened, everyone's like, well, if they downgrade the U.S. credit rating, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And then that didn't
Happen. The world kept fucking turning. Number seven is the death of Gaddafi.
Oh, yeah.
Happened not too long ago.
Yeah, very big.
And number six is Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky in Penn State.
Ongoing as well.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to never talk about that. Can we just not? I hate that.
That's what the next 50 minutes is going to be only. we're going to ask really hard questions.
This is real hard. Number five is the economic crisis in the United States. But that feels like it's been going on for years.
Yeah, that's old news.
That's too vague to be a monumental event.
Yeah. And then four is the European Union financial crisis.
I like that they worded it differently. Not with Greece.
They have a big Greek flag there, so they blame Greece.
Well, yeah, it's big. That could fuck up the rest of the world. If the euro crashes, that could fuck up all markets.
I was told a joke by a customer today who said, I have a joke that you can use.
I have a joke
problems.
For you.
Now you can use it.
And it refers to this.
You have to use it.
He said, so a Greek, a Spaniard, an Italian all go out to dinner. Who picks up the bill?
The sheep.
The Germans.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey. Germans got a stable economy, and they got to bail everyone out.
That got as big of a laugh as it did now, as it did then.
Yeah. That's like classic Europe humor, though.
Yeah, it was. I was like, man, that's a good joke.
He was wearing a dress. It's like a different culture.
My grandfather's favorite joke is that we should change "In God We Trust" on the dollar to "In Dollar We Trust," and just reprint all the money, and he just laughs his ass off.
It's not a joke.
That's like a sentence.
That's like a good point.
He says it to me every holiday for the last 3 years.
Wow.
It's pretty good. Yes. It's funny for him every time. I love it.
Number three is the Arab Spring. Protests and revolution in Egypt.
Oh, yeah, that's nuts.
I've seen that as number one on a lot of lists, actually.
Well, what's nuts is it's falling apart a little bit now.
Yeah.
Forbes has Libya in there before Arab Spring, so it has two Middle Eastern revolutions happening. So I figured it could.
Well, how many revolutions happened this year? That was
a bunch.
Crazy.
It's a big year for revolution.
Egypt, Tunisia, Bahrain, Libya, three others.
Perhaps it is foreshadowing the end of something big.
Well, a lot of people say the Wall Street, the Occupy movement. A lot of people say Occupy wouldn't be happening if not for the Arab Spring.
It's very possible.
The Occupy also kind of ties in with all that.
Number two is the string of disasters in Japan, which I think
this year.
Nine magnitude earthquake and then a tsunami.
They are not.
Godfrey got fired for making jokes about it.
Oh, yeah.
Nuclear meltdown.
Oh, yeah. They are not feeling oblivion.
There's no good news in this.
Well, my favorite part about the Japanese thing is the before and after pictures, because after it was 2 months after the disasters happened, they started rebuilding. Mm-hmm. And it looked like the pictures of before and after, they look completely amazing about how hard they worked to just get their civilization back.
We've seen that YouTube video of it's like a traffic light, just in an intersection in Japan, and within 3 minutes, the entire intersection is covered in 20 feet of water, and it's the most surreal thing. You like,
whoa.
It's like watching something out of an action movie, only it's just frightening.
Those videos popped up like crazy. Yeah. I saw a 10-minute one where, you take a guy with a handy cam and he's like running up some steps, and the steps that he just ran on are covered with water.
Yeah.
And then there's like ships and cars like just passing around in the water. Like it's ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, because there's such a like respect-based society, that when all this started happening, instead of panicking and looting and causing destruction, they were like, hey, yeah, you have to get 20 miles away from your house to be safe right now. And people just did it. And people actually kept their heads and worked together because their society is just kind of based on, like, this is how it is. You understand your place in society. And, like, when you're told you have to go do something, you just have to trust that it's what you have to do.
I'm like, fuck that.
Well, yeah, but that's why they're able to, like,
that big screen.
Actually hold together through this because they prepared for it.
Yeah. My room, I want a screen.
Radioactive mutant Castell.
It is a thing that definitely separates the American way of life from the Japanese way of life, but I'm glad that they've been able to recover as much as they have.
What's number one? And the number one, which will somehow all make tie into our shows, is the biggest story of 2011 is the murder of Osama bin Laden. I guess assassination. What would you call it? The killing of?
It was a murder.
It was an assassination.
Yeah. I guess if it's a high,
it says
high
they say the death
target
of Osama bin Laden, but we killed him.
We sent a team of Navy SEALs to shoot him in the face.
The revenge, or the organized
assassination? Is that what it's called?
Basically, it used to be assassination.
I'd say assassination. Yeah.
It was planned.
We whacked him.
We did. We whacked him. That's what we did.
I have to say, it's been like 7 months.
Yeah.
Since
May,
that happened.
May 1st. No, that's not. Yeah,
I gotta
May
say,
1st.
I'm so glad still.
Yeah.
Don't regret a thing.
I was glad that. Well, we found out during one of our shows.
Mm-hmm. During our after party.
When we headlined the Chicago Improv Festival.
Yeah, when we headlined.
If I can just nudge that in there.
Yeah. After we headlined the final night of the Chicago Improv Festival, we had a wonderful show and then find out that Osama bin Laden was killed by our military.
I was ecstatic.
What a great... we were so thrilled. We had so many international guests.
Yes, we did. That's why. We had a lot of international guests, so we couldn't celebrate, which I felt was...
We did chant USA.
I feel that we're a very patriotic company of people.
We do national anthem.
I kind of miss that we don't do the national anthem anymore.
I definitely do, always.
We'll bring it back.
I think there's a reason why we don't do
it. Yeah, because we're doing other stuff in its place for the shows.
I just definitely miss it. I just wish that I could figure out a way to work it back in. But I love that we used to do the national anthem before each show. I think it's a cool thing to show our national pride.
I think that was the thing with bin Laden, too, is it was not just senseless death that people were applauding. Like, he was very much... We were all so young, pretty much, when the towers hit. We were all in high school.
Don't get us wrong, though. We love to applaud senseless violence.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. But this was, like, you know, something that didn't seem like it could be done. It seemed like... We just got jaded to the idea, like, we were never going to catch him. He was blown up to be this, like,
plus,
existential threat.
How many times have you tried to shoot somebody in the living room watching porn? It's hard. It's hard to do.
They're moving fast.
Every time I try to shoot somebody watching porn, I get distracted by the porn.
That's why you're not allowed in our house anymore.
Wait, was he really watching porn?
No,
they found
just
porn
had
out.
A lot of porn.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he just had
and
a lot
of porn.
There was a chance he could have been watching porn.
Yeah. That is also
true. I guess.
I was like, I heard about the porn. I just didn't know it was like on in the background.
Didn't he have a lot of Condoleezza Rice?
That was Gaddafi.
No, he was Gaddafi.
Gaddafi was a big Condi Rice fan. Osama, I don't think there's anything that weird about his porn. I don't remember hearing
like Bang Brothers,
about
something
him.
Like that.
Yeah, I think Osama pretty much liked the same things that most of us like.
Other than the fact that most of it
don't
was probably
get on
like
the
7
bus.
Years old.
You're not going to get paid. Oh, you stupid American.
Oh, you got on the bus.
Oh, you dumb bitch.
It's not even a bus.
So what embarrassing final
don't
words.
Don't get out to pee. Take the money first. Whoa. Take the money and then pee. Oh,
oh
they're driving away.
Shame is on your family.
Now, was Steve Jobs dying a big thing for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It was
you know what?
Guy.
When I found out about it, I was like, oh, that's disappointing. I've had an iPhone since it first came out. But then I heard like all of the horrible stuff that he like did
he
or didn't
dick.
Do.
Can
yeah,
you
like he was like a huge.
Dick.
The thing is, like,
look it up, Steve Jobs.
Now I want to know.
Well, there's the because the big comparison is him and Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And apparently, Bill Gates is like the biggest donator of money. You know.
Oh yeah.
Oh, totally.
The charity, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is like the greatest charitable, greatest in terms of number of dollars contributed,
and
of like all time.
Yeah.
Bill doesn't give for his children. He only has certain amounts that they can get.
Yeah.
It's only like a couple hundred grand, so like his children won't necessarily be rich.
Right.
And when he dies, his entire money is going to that foundation, along with a lot of other. The big thing he did was he has a ton of rich friends.
Well,
so like
he gives a shitload of money to God, what the hell is it called? It's got the word venture in it. It's a
Venture Brothers.
No, it's not Venture Brothers.
That's why it's so good. That's why it's such a good show. It's got such a good budget.
It's a company it's a company of the best way I can describe it is it's a company of like mad scientists that are working on. They're working on insane solutions.
Is it intellectual venture?
That's the one. It's IV, Intellectual Ventures.
Intellectual Ventures is also horrible, though. I think we're thinking of different companies.
Shady aspects.
I looked up Bill Gates Venture, and actually I have a lot of venture things. Is it Venture Beat?
No, it is Intellectual Ventures.
Oh. It is Intellectual.
But, well, yes, that
listen to that Patton podcast from This American Life.
I did listen to that one. But then I listened to a different podcast, like a Radiolab podcast or something, and they were talking about how awesome it was.
Dude, and podcasts are hard to get credit for because you have to be really good to have a podcast.
Well, the thing that stuck with me is Bill Gates throws in a shitload of his money to this company for, you know, to find solutions to problems that plague us. Like, he wants to rid the world of malaria. He wants us to never have to worry about malaria again. So the scientists at Intellectual Ventures that he's funding are trying to develop a laser, and I believe they've actually successfully developed this laser that targets mosquitoes, but it only targets female mosquitoes. So it can zap like half the mosquito population, so it doesn't ruin the ecosystem.
Like from space?
I don't care where it's from as long as it gets rid of fucking mosquitoes. Because I hate mosquitoes.
I think it would be like from you'd mount them on the top of like, I don't know, like towers or some shit.
But if they killed all the female mosquitoes, wouldn't all mosquitoes then die shortly thereafter?
I guess they would target a specific amount of
Life will find a way, Mark.
Chris, I was just about to say that. Life will find a
Does
way.
Does anybody know what purpose the mosquito serves? In the grand
to be a dick.
It is a parasite.
Yeah, so no.
A mosquito is a parasite.
To keep
that
our population under control.
It's
not working.
Not at all.
And
maybe they just suck at it.
But only it's only like 10%
what I was saying about Steve Jobs is when I
projects.
When I found out he was a dick is that he like barely ever contributed to any charities. Ever.
There's a 16 examples of Steve Jobs being a huge jerk is the title of this article I'm reading right now.
What are some of the highlights?
Well,
Lisa, we said the same thing.
Like the magazine.
Well, he apparently wouldn't stay. If it wasn't a 5-star hotel, he wouldn't stay in it.
Yeah, that's
he wanted nothing to do with his daughter for a long time.
Wow. She might have been a dick. Who knows?
Hey, that's personal stuff. I don't want.
He never said goodbye to his parents when he dropped them off at college. That's not that bad.
Oh. I didn't say bye to my parents.
Yeah, those are bit.
He fired people without notice. That's bad.
That's fucked up.
But that's what happens when you're the CEO of like one of the top.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna give you the exact flip of that argument.
All
right. Why Steve Jobs? The exact flip of that is unlike Microsoft and Bill Gates, Jobs was a big CEO businessman who didn't use his money to try to affect politics. Apple wasn't a company like Microsoft that had to hire a bunch of lobbyists to try to get a bunch of influence in Washington. He changed the world by making products that made life easier. For everybody, that's the mark he left. Instead of having to, you know, try to play politics, he has, I mean, these people using iPhones and video cameras in their phones and stuff. That's what caused the Arab Spring. That's what, I mean, he changed the world in a lot of other profound ways. Instead of traditionally played.
As a matter of fact,
you still hold on. That doesn't make him not a dick. You're getting fired, otherwise then it's a layoff.
Well, here's oh, this is him being a huge jerk, and so maybe you'll bite your tongues after this. Steve Jobs fired the guy in charge of MobileMe in front of a crowd of Apple employees to quote, "Can anyone tell me what MobileMe is supposed to do?" When the team gave their answers, Jobs replied, "Then why the fuck doesn't it do it?" He then fired MobileMe bosses on the spot.
That's pretty dickish. That's pretty hilarious.
Whether he was an innovator or not, it's dickish.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe he was just really tired because he had just come from also being the CEO of Pixar. And, like, Up wasn't looking so great yet. And then he just walked into Apple and was like, "I'm going to fire a bitch."
Or maybe
he did.
Maybe his true self was a dick and he's just being true to himself.
Or when you have to pour that much of yourself into something, sometimes the worst of you comes out. Like,
it's like you pour a piece of your soul into that product.
It's like a horcrux! God damn it. Nice, Tins.
Why did you do that, Tins?
Thanks, Tins.
Dude, if someone was fucking up my shit, I'd fire them in front of people if I had to. Most likely, I'd do my best to avoid it, but I think when you get as crazy as Steve Jobs... You know.
Also, we don't know how many times, like, what did this guy, did Steve give him, like, multiple chances to redeem himself, or is this...
You're saying because I don't know the backstory, I can't
say... I would say you,
because
he's reading
difficult.
It, but I mean,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, we just don't know his backstory.
This guy could have
totally
had 3 years of screwing up, you know?
But you could also fire him quietly.
It is, like, pretty mean. Even out of context.
Talked about in living rooms and do it awesome. And embarrassingly.
That's a good point.
There's that Steve Jobs book, apparently, that came out not too long ago.
Why I'm a Dick, Jobs.
Well, he's apparently criticized a lot, and I don't know. I haven't read it, so I can't give it
to you. I would very much like to read it.
But I know that he comes off rather dickish in that book as well.
He's got to be a dick. He's so weird. He's had a weird upbringing. Yeah. Like, I mean,
You don't have to be a dick to get a weird upbringing.
But also, like, think about... So, like, he did this whole... All this stuff, and then Bill Gates, you know, debatably stole it or came up with his own very similar thing. And then, for so long, he was, like, just in the gutter. In the gutter. He was still the CEO of Apple Computers. But, like, relative to the success all of his peers were having, you know, it took so long for what... And he just kept saying, like, "I'm going to make this work." And he kept making Apple products, you know, and eventually now Apple's a larger company than Microsoft.
Didn't he exploit, like labor camps and stuff in China?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
No, and yeah, Apple has had some. They've definitely made iPhones with really, really, really bad labor standards.
Really?
There were stories about people committing suicide. They were jumping out of the Apple building because they were just fucking... I mean, it was horrible to work there.
Listen, I'm getting the iPhone for Christmas, and I'm psyched.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter remains, the man was a dick, and that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, it is okay.
I will still buy his product. I've had the iPhone since the first generation, and I will continue to own them.
I think that's the thing, is like being a dick doesn't affect whether or not we buy his thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Yes,
it still doesn't mean I can't
You may have convinced my dad to get me an Apple computer.
You're welcome.
If you did, I'll buy you ice cream.
Okay, now what is the argument? I'm curious.
What?
I deal with this a lot at my job. And I'm not trying to start an argument, but
you're trying to start an argument.
As an Apple person, tell me what your argument is why cloud should get an Apple over a PC.
For me, I found that it is very easy to learn how to use media to a productive standard. And not to have a lot of knowledge, be able to gain knowledge through an interface that's more fun to use and better to see and understand everything. So, yes, while it's not, there are totally, like, lousy things about it. Like, their whole filing system within it is really confusing. And it's hard to figure out how to go because they try to make it really easy for you. But by making it so easy for you at the beginning, it makes you not know where things really are. So they're much harder to locate, so it creates little problems. But after dealing with that, I've learned how to locate them now. I know how to find them. And it's just really easy to use at a very high speed.
It's very intuitive. You feel like with the iPhone, with anything, you can pretty much give it to anybody, no matter how familiar they are with technology. Within a couple minutes, they can usually start doing what they're supposed to do or end up where they're supposed to be.
Okay. And my argument is almost... Because I had a MacBook for a few months, and I actually really enjoyed it. The thing I didn't enjoy was not being able, because I, having used the PC pretty much all my life, I've always been able to take it apart mm-hmm. and upgrade it on my own.
True.
With the Mac, I could not. So when my Mac, there was some beer got spilled on it after a party or something.
God only knows.
Whatever happened. You know, something happened. Maybe I was way too drunk and around my computer listening to Pandora. And so beer spilled on, and there was like no way I can take it apart and know how to fix it inside or know what to replace or, you know, fix it myself. With the PC, I've learned how to do it. And yeah, granted, you do have to learn how to do mm-hmm. it. I don't know how to do it with the Mac or yeah. with an Apple.
Well, and my opinion, and this is my opinion, so feel free to disagree mm-hmm. with me. As a MacBook is like a Mac is like a computer for dummies. In the sense that, like you were saying, anybody can pick it up and figure it out, obviously.
Any old Keith any can old, figure it out.
Any Tom, Dick, Keith, or Chris's can pick it up. Figure out what's going on where. But nope. Most places of work and business uses PCs.
Yeah.
And so it behooves you to know that technology.
See, at me, it's so much, like, it makes so much more sense for me to have a Mac simply because that's all my work computer, too. Mm-hmm. So it's like in everything I'm doing, like, all my calendars in there, you just plug it in. Your iTunes are there, you can listen straight off it. And, like,
it's
all so nice. They put everything, Microsoft puts everything, it's like their best asset and their curse. Everything is like in a neat little box, and it's just really easy to get to and quickly does what you want. But at the same time, if you decide you want something outside of that box, therein lies the problem. Like that's Mac for me.
That's
well, it's not a personal. I mean, it's what Mac thinks all humans need to know and need to utilize. Whereas a PC, you can decide. It has all those things, but you can decide what things you need to have.
That's a really really good way of describing it.
I have these media things. I don't need them, but I do need this. Can I get it? I can. Awesome.
And I
can't really get it. Okay.
It doesn't force you to fucking do shit.
It doesn't force it, but it doesn't let you expand your repertoire.
The thing that's weird, like that I've always kind of felt is like Apple computers are awesome for people that have little experience with programming, because many of the options you can access through, you know, like a very simple interface, and there's not that many options. And then PCs are great after that point for a while, because there's lots of very detailed options, and there's lots you can do to program it however the heck you want it. And then there's a point like way further down than I've ever been in terms of programming knowledge where Apple becomes like insanely better, because the operating system on Apple is like way easier to interact with if you're gonna do like crazy custom shit. And so like a lot of the people I know that do like a lot of their own programming love Mac, because they can like write scripts that interact with their software and stuff.
You can do shit. I mean, like if you want to instantly, like all these things now, it's like with live streaming and everything, at like all these big world events, people can instantly have their phone going, be like get pretty good quality camera and stuff on their phone, and have it up on YouTube and live stream and stuff like within minutes.
But you can do that on Android too now.
Oh, yeah, but Android loses battery really fast.
unless you turn off the stuff that is sucking your battery.
Yeah.
Android's not what I use.
Got him, Keith.
The problem is I deal 98% of my job is PC, and
not 99.
No.
Nice, dude.
Beat you too.
Close though. No, and a lot of people just will complain to me when something goes wrong. They're using a PC, they don't know how to use it, and they just make a joke / half joke that's like, oh, I use Mac, so this is stupid. You know, it's like, yeah. And it's like, dude, fixed your problem. Oh, you really know how to use this. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like just like a Mac. You learn how to use it. And you're efficient at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can be confusing either way.
And a lot of times, businesses just use PCs because they're way cheaper.
They're much cheaper, actually. Yeah.
Like a third
of
the price.
You don't need some of the, a lot of the features of them.
And they totally work.
And they do.
Yeah, no, I can.
But, no, also, speaking of Steve Jobs, they say he still has, like, 5 or 6 years of ideas that are in Apple's pipeline, like, to build down the road. And I'm just,
he's like Tupac?
I can't wait to see what they're doing. They're going to be releasing Steve Jobs albums on iTunes.
See, John Stewart had a good point about Steve Jobs. He just said it seems like...
Yeah, it's just totally crap. It ruins my entire argument.
It's
PC.
Oh, it's fucking
up. That I'm on is totally fucked up.
Chris Mack's working great.
Yeah.
Chris Mack's working great. It's configuring not by my will.
No, but he said like Edison. Edison
HP,
and all those guys, they left
it's
us.
It's not your fault, Mark. It's obviously.
It's,
I mean,
no,
this
it's
happened
HP.
Before. They said, happened before.
We run this
my,
off of Dell, though.
On my PC.
No, that... Oh, yeah.
It ruins my entire argument.
No, it's an HP. I'm not very satisfied.
Yeah, I'm Toshiba, so...
Yeah, no.
It's not everyone.
But, like, there was more shit Jobs could have done. It's like, he was so young. If he was just with us longer, he probably would have given us a whole bunch of more
cool
shit.
They say he canceled the iPhone 5.
On purpose, I bet.
He did.
Out of spite.
It was supposed to come out, and he canceled it, and then they released the 4S.
Why? Why did
really?
He cancel
it? Because it was, you know, everyone would expect it to be a 4G phone, and AT&T, mostly AT&T, I would assume, didn't have a network to really support the kind of user base they would, you know, that 4G coverage just wasn't there, and he didn't want to be a part of it if it wasn't going to be great. And other reasons, plus they knew they could just make a shit ton of money if they released it.
Yeah, they basically.
Ooh, here's Siri that doesn't really work.
I
just put a robot
be,
in and sell.
He
sell
might be
whatever.
A better businessman than a
programmer. And he made millions of dollars.
But at the same time, he was a futurist.
I mean, he's a pretty great programmer, too. Yeah.
Okay, I'll say that.
He, like, his first Apple computer was just like, he bought a bunch of, like, used parts and just built it in his apartment or something like that.
Yeah, they say he just used to be the most nerdiest guy. He'd always reek like BO when he was first starting out.
Oh my
that's
God.
A trademark for the nerdy guy.
Why?
It is.
Yeah.
Because they spend all
they don't care.
At the
he
computer.
Just does like a 36-hour session at his computer.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they don't
that, when you're that nerdy.
You
can
smell yourself. I like to smell nice.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't I'm not thinking about themselves.
People
don't know
stuff.
But I mean, yeah. If you don't bathe for weeks, it's...
He's like six pizzas at a time.
That's a lot.
And just drinking Code Red or LimeWire.
Would you guys want to go through any more? I've got a couple other lists here.
I was going to say...
The best ofs and the worst ofs.
Oh, 2011, yeah.
Well, I've actually had a list going up here. I thought we might play a little guessing game.
Sweet.
Because I know we love our movies.
Yes.
I have here, according to Wikipedia, as of December 18th, which is yesterday as we were recording this podcast... this is the list of the highest grossing films of 2011.
Hang on.
All right. The game has not begun yet.
No.
Twilight. I've got the top 10 here. What do you guys think the top 5 are? In any order, or if you really think you can get the order.
Harry
Potter.
What, me?
No, come over here for a moment.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Okay. What else do we think?
Inception.
Inception was not this year.
Oh, it wasn't. It was last year.
Scott Pilgrim 2010.
Scott Pilgrim was also 2010.
I'm gonna take a wild guess, although I haven't seen it yet. But
is this from 2010 or 2011?
Well, I'm gonna put it sucked.
Hugo, you said?
You saw it?
Yeah.
It sucked.
Yeah, it was
J. Edgar.
Oh, is it on here?
I didn't see
Hugo was like so mediocre. Don't go see it.
I want to know.
Thor.
So it was
Thor.
Like Captain America.
I think Thor was the year before.
Yeah, Thor
Captain
was
America.
Fun.
Captain America is not even on the top 10.
Drive?
God.
An independent film?
No
way. Yeah.
Like how about, isn't Twilight, whatever the new, dude, so
yeah,
you already said Twilight.
I would say Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Wait, there's two? That's a two-parter, too?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, good.
You guys are... Right now, you guys have named two out of the top five.
And that was both of my love.
Is Terminator... Is Transformers 3 on there?
Transformers 3 is on there.
Okay. Nice. Moneyball.
Moneyball does not.
No.
I guess think of the films that, like the whole world would have seen. Not like maybe we would have seen it, but the... Mainstream America would have gone nuts for this.
Muppet movie?
No, not the Muppet movie.
Yet,
I think it's... Yeah, it's...
Bridesmaids?
Oh,
Oh yeah.
God, you know Bridesmaids isn't on here.
What about the Hangover 2?
Hangover 2 is on there.
Really?
Four of them.
That's so disappointing because that was like the worst. That was worse than any of the other movies.
It was supposed to be really not good.
I saw it. I thought it was okay. There was a monkey in it, so that saved a lot of points.
Yeah, what about
Man
Loves Monkey?
So you're
good monkey movie.
You got
dude,
four
it was
out
a really
of five.
Good monkey movie.
Let me start with
better
number,
than Dunstan.
Wow. Let me start with number 10, and I'll count my way up, and we'll see if you're kicking yourself.
10 sucks. I can see all.
10 fucking sucks.
I can see all this list, so I
okay,
can't play the game.
So number 10, it made $142 million, and we're just I'm just going
grown
up U.S. box office, not worldwide gross.
Is it a Kevin James movie?
No, fuck no.
Is that
I'd be surprised and angry.
Read cross dresses.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, that got a
Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill got like a 2% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think most of America was wise to that one. So 10 was the Smurfs. Number 9
was Smurfs.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah. The Smurfs was at 10. Number 9, which really surprised me.
Number 9.
Oh god. Nice work. Yeah.
This game is stupid.
I like that every creator. I like that every time someone else says 9, it's like a personal attack on Nick now.
At $143 million was Rio, which I was very surprised.
Oh, I didn't know that came out
Johnny
this year.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I do play the Angry Birds game.
Yeah, me too. I don't know anything about the movie.
No.
Coming in at number 8 with $165 million, we've got Kung Fu Panda 2.
Awesome. I never saw it, but
nice.
I love the first one.
I guess you figure, like, any really decent CGI kids movie, every kid in the world is going to go see it, and a lot of them are probably going to go see it.
The other thing you don't think about that I realized is that, yeah, ticket prices don't change that much for kids' movies, but you have to bring twice as many people.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them are in 3D, too, which definitely does change.
Yeah.
Which may explain...
Do they count the 3D glasses in the box office numbers? I feel like they should.
You know, the 3D glasses probably not, but isn't the base...
The price usually is higher.
Oh, no.
It's
higher.
I thought 3D movies... No, 3D movies are way more expensive.
Like $2 or $3
at least. And then the glasses on
top
of that?
Well, I think the glasses are... The glasses are like, well, you paid for a 3D movie. Here's the glasses.
Oh, I thought they were charging you 4 glasses on top of...
No, because, like, the movie theaters, and maybe theater by theater, too, the 3D technology only works with a certain kind of glasses.
Yeah.
So they probably want to cut out people, like, bringing their Sony 3D TV glasses and
bitching
about them not working.
Yeah.
But the 3D thing definitely might explain some of this. Number 7 with $91 million was Cars 2.
Oh, my God.
Which was also supposed to be garbage.
It was terrible.
Wait, I
just want to make a point about Cars.
Okay. All right.
Here's the deal. Cars pays for so many movies.
I will give you that.
Yeah,
you make Cars so that you can make, you know,
I mean,
so many
Cars 2 is the reason WALL-E exists, if I'm getting my
And the reason
right.
why, like, Monsters Inc. 2 is
Yeah, I think so.
Out.
I think it was like Pixar said, fine, like, you won't let us make WALL-E, it's too risky, it's going to cost too much, fine. If you let us do WALL-E, if you let us do these other films... We'll do Cars 2.
Like,
fine.
That's why you do things like that.
Have your $200 million.
That being said, it was supposedly by far the worst of all the Pixar movies.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's...
So you make some sacrifices,
can I
get the job
that,
done.
Like, in general, I feel so lucky that we live in a time where, like, these Pixar movies, like... For the most part, always completely fantastic movies. And
they're
every
like
way.
Yeah.
every almost every one of them is a near masterpiece.
Thanks,
it's
Steve
fucking
Jobs.
Anyway, speaking of the worst in a franchise, coming in at number 5 at $241 million is Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tide.
Oh, that's still a totally a movie.
Wait, that came out this year.
That came out this year. I didn't realize that many people.
I saw that from the Red Box.
Did you?
It was pretty much 100% what you'd expect it would be. It was like the people that, you know, had kids to go through college or like wanted a new yacht or something, like they all signed on. And then they all had right, some
so
new
Johnny
people.
Depp was in it. Orlando Bloom was not in it.
No.
Keira
and neither Keira
no.
Knightley. But was Jeffrey Rush in it?
I think so. And who? Wait, is he Barbossa?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was in it.
Oh, okay.
And Milk and Barbossa still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're like
dude,
nemesis,
Jeffrey
but
Rush.
Also
he's
sort
Rush,
of friends.
Man.
And then they also had, Penelope
Cruz.
Penelope Cruz.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Who was, like, sort of good, but not really.
Dude, I don't fucking need Orlando Bloom or Keira Knightley.
No. I don't care about those characters.
I just wish the movie was better.
The parts with Johnny Depp were still, like, pretty fun. Yeah. It wasn't trying
I'm
to
sure
be...
he was still good.
It wasn't trying to be, like, interesting and, like, character-driven anymore. It was just being piratey. So, like, that part of it was still really fun. But.
Okay. Do you guys want to write a really fucking awesome Pirates of the Caribbean sequel and then, like, sell it?
Yeah. Like, sell the script? Get us money to do other things.
Well, the worst part is
they...
The worst part is they won't even read it. They can't... They're actually legally not allowed to read it.
Unsolicited.
Oh, we'll just make it.
Oh, great. Okay, no, that's
nice. It'll be fan fiction so good that they'll have to accept it.
Hey, isn't that what every...
We now, through chance, have Time Magazine delivered to our house.
Yeah.
Well, we do. We've been getting it.
We've been getting it.
We have like a stack of Time Magazines.
I've never read a single one.
It's got your name on it. I'm sure you got it somehow for you.
But they picked, for the person of the year this year, they picked the protester as their person of the year. You guys think that was bullshit or not?
Yeah.
Which protester?
Wait, the protester?
The protester, the thought being with the Arab Spring.
Which top movie was he in?
Yeah, what was that?
It's just the fact that for the first time, like, people getting on the internet and getting pissed off about shit and going, like, it was the first time they actually made meaningful change in a long time. Where it was just people getting together on the internet and doing shit. Like,
the movie Drive.
What were the other four? And then back to Chris.
Yeah. Now, coming in at number four, $254 million, The Hangover Part 2. Holy shit, that made a lot of money.
God damn it. Is that the highest? That might be the highest grossing comedy of all time.
I haven't seen it.
No, I didn't see it because I heard it was shitty.
Yeah. I saw it on a date.
Really?
It was good. It had a monkey in it.
I'm interested in the monkey.
There was like three scenes where the monkey was like the main character of the scene.
Really?
Nice.
Like, you know, the focus is on the monkey.
Was it a monkey or a chimp or what?
Like a little Marcel Mouse, like a Friends, early Friends monkey.
Friends, oh my god!
That's a white-faced monkey.
Yeah,
like a monkey.
Okay, gotcha.
That was also from, what was it, Outbreak?
Yeah! Let's watch Outbreak.
No.
Did that come out this year?
No.
Yes, it did.
Moving on.
Coming in at $266 million at number three is Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1, which I heard was shitty.
Still in theaters.
At number two, $352 million, was Transformers Dark of the Moon.
That's it, really?
$352 million. Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, that's crazy.
I saw Dark of the Moon.
What?
I saw theaters. Yeah.
You supported this thing?
3D, yeah. Dude. It was Chicago.
Chicago.
You were
fucking
going twice.
Yeah,
you
Chicago.
Went twice.
I
have not seen this movie.
I totally saw it. Watching Chicago blow up was cool.
Watching Chicago blow up was fucking awesome. The movie was garbage.
Yeah, okay, but awful, could you wait for that kind of awesome on this, like, awesome TV?
No, we didn't have this TV.
You had a huge thing. Also, this TV is only 2D. I need more D's.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed it that much more because it was in 3D.
Yes.
No, I didn't see it, but
this was a movie made for that.
Yes. Did you enjoy the movie?
I enjoyed the last hour immensely.
Okay. That's all I needed.
It
was worth it. It was worth the glasses that cost $3 extra.
You know what? Actually, that was my first 3D movie I had seen, and it was pretty cool.
Would you say that Chicago blowing up was like Transformers Monkey? It made other things okay?
No. I would have been like, stuff was blowing up in Chicago randomly the entire movie.
There was a scene where Shia LaBeouf is just walking down the street and a Starbucks blows up or something.
It's not just any Starbucks. It's Chicago landmarks. That's
true.
What makes it awesome. Yeah. Like, you see these just pinnacles in the skyline, and it's just so cool. Because so many times you get to see New York blown up.
Oh, dude, all the time.
And it's just like, I've seen it. I don't care, you know? But when Chicago got blown up, I was like, that's
cool.
Wild.
You know it. Yeah.
And it was just cool to be around. I love when they bend reality with a film, and I think in a crazy 2011, Transformers 3 was great film for 2011.
You know, I just found out that Chicago is the fourth largest economy in the world.
What?
Behind Tokyo, New York, London, we are number four.
What? Wow. Yeah. That was nuts.
That's I learned that on Reddit. Wild.
How come we're not seeing more of those dollars?
Well, so you know what all those dollars went to? The 381 yes. million of them went to Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, making it not only, God, it got the single biggest day's gross of all time with people paid to see paid $91 million just to see it on the first day.
Wow. Wait, so you're saying that over, what would that be? A little under 25% of the entire movie's profits were made in its first day.
Yeah, and not only that, but it also beat The Dark Knight's record in 2008 for highest weekend opening in the U.S. and Canada, and that made Dark Knight made $158 million that weekend. And Harry Potter got $169 million out of it.
Jeez. If I was Harry Potter, not the actual character, but the franchise, I would have charged like $20 a ticket for that movie.
Just like, don't know, right? Everyone still would have seen it.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. You'd have just rolled in money. It would have been ridiculous.
Way to go out with a bang, Harry. Oh, and I have
that was Lauren Ivey in her mind high-fiving Harry Potter.
And I have my wand, see?
Accio dollars.
You have a wand. I'm holding a pen wand.
Oh, that's adorable.
It's super adorable.
It's Harry Potter's wand.
So, but to what Chris was saying earlier, though, about the people giving awards to concepts instead of actual people, I do kind of think that's bullshit.
I agree.
Because Ted did the same thing. They gave their Ted prize to the City 2.0, the idea. And I was like...
Well, do you have someone you think should have been the Person of the Year?
Person of the Year this year? I don't know.
Probably me.
I heard Steve Jobs is what I heard a lot.
Yeah, and so was the new Duchess or whatever.
Kate Middleton?
Kate Middleton. Oh, no.
She didn't do anything.
Where'd you hear that, though, man?
She married a prince. I feel like she got prize enough.
Fuck that. There were so many more cool things than her this year.
We have...
Di, there were, you know, things weren't as cool when Di was around, so Di was the hippest thing.
Also, Di did a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she did awesome.
Kate Middleton.
No, this is just what I'm seeing in the people. Like, we're saying who else were up for the People of the Year position.
Pretty wedding, but it's not like she saved the world or anything.
No. Well, why are you high-fiving me all the time?
I'm doing positive reinforcement.
Keep going.
I'm trying to support you, Lauren.
All right, thanks.
It's a new year. Almost.
I have another time list up that I want to get through. If I get a drum roll, I can get through this real fast.
All right.
I'm just going to list... Wait, hang on. It has to load up correctly. But I'm going to list real quick the top 10 memes.
Top 10 memes? Here we go.
Yes, of 2011.
Oh.
Okay, number 10, Chuck Testa.
Nope.
Huh?
Nope.
He's Chuck Testa, yeah. He was huge on Reddit.
Chuck Testa, yeah. Okay, number 9. Bronies. They're the Molly
I just learned about them like last week.
Wait, what are the bronies?
Bronies are like fully grown dudes that love the television
My Little
show.
Pony. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Like without irony at
that's
all.
That's hilarious.
Mark said while rubbing
Number
his
eight.
Head.
Paula Dean riding things. Have you guys seen
I
Paula
just
Dean
heard
riding
about
things?
That like
I've
last
I've never
week.
Heard about that.
I want to see that.
I've had pictures at my workplace just all over the place of Paula Dean like riding a stick of butter into the moon. That's a meme. That's a meme. Number 7, Ted Williams' golden voice. Remember, he was the homeless guy who had an amazing voice.
Oh, wow.
Voice.
Yeah, that was this year.
Great.
Awesome.
He got famous for a moment, then got fired.
And then he got arrested.
He got fired?
Well, he's a drug addict.
Number 6.
He's homeless.
Number 6, Hipster Ariel.
Don't know that.
Oh, yeah. Hipster Ariel. That was pretty good.
Hipster Ariel.
What?
Is it like
he's
a little mermaid?
He's hipster.
It's an angsty picture of Ariel, and somebody's photoshopped hipstery glasses onto her, and they make Ariel say hipstery things.
Number 5. T-bowing.
Oh,
yes. T-bowing.
Well, how do you T-bow?
I still get excited when
pray
you
to
T-bow.
The Lord.
You go on one knee and you pray.
I get a little kick out of T-bowing.
As in, you were saying so nefarious, but like, praise be to God.
I think it's really
that's
cool.
On one knee.
Now
I would probably just say so nefarious.
Though. Have any of you guys T-bowed?
No.
I do at comedy sports really all the time.
Oh, God, T-bowing.
When I come out, I come out to T-bowing, so people hate me.
Number 4, hashtag winning.
I forgot about
Dude,
Charlie
people
Sheen.
People fucking
that.
Still
Dude,
do that. They do,
that
though.
Shit,
that, okay. Number 3, Princess Beatrice's Fascinator.
What?
It's a crazy
big
hat.
Big dumb hat.
Oh, okay.
Number 2, Plankton.
Plankton.
Oh, yeah.
I never got to
what's planking?
I saw a cat planking.
Planking?
It was lame. Oh, that reminds me, have you guys seen stuffonmycat.com?
Oh,
check
you
it
told
out.
Me that.
It's awesome. Great. It's just like mugs and ketchup packets on cats.
Are you guys plank? No.
What is Mark plank?
Okay, planking, you plank? Or Tinge, you want to take it?
Yeah, planking, it's the dumbest phenomenon in the world. You traditionally, you take pictures, or a friend takes a picture of you planking, which is just lying horizontally on a silly surface, is the best way I can describe.
Like, good. What would a silly surface be?
Like, if you plank atop, like,
a fountain.
Yeah, on a fountain, like, across train tracks, I've seen people planking.
So they had a whole, like, office beginning of them planking different across weird places in the office. Yeah. Across cubicles,
but the idea,
on a dumpster.
You just make yourself as rigid as possible, horizontally. As if you were a plank.
Did you guys see that
good.
Video
this.
About like hanging like bats? It was like Batman.
That
Batmaning.
Yeah. Oh, Batmaning. That's right.
I don't know if that's what they officially call it.
No, I think that is what they call it.
And number one.
Yes.
Number one. We are the 99%. Again.
I'd argue first world problems should be on there.
First world problems.
I love first world problems.
It was a 2011.
That is totally.
I'm really into that text from Bennett.
Yeah.
It's great.
I haven't read that yet. I know.
Text from Bennett's pretty funny.
Is it just one guy's inappropriate text?
Yeah, his name's Bennett.
Is he? Would it be like text from last night, except just one dude?
No.
It's just
no.
This ridiculous character texting a normal man.
Yeah, it's just text from Bennett, man.
It's very funny.
It's funny. It's different because it's Bennett.
Got it.
Oh, that's his cousin, right?
Yeah, his cousin Bennett.
The N word a couple of times.
Yeah, Bennett.
Just in this first one.
Bennett thinks he's like a hardcore gangster dude, but he's just this white Southern kid.
Do you think it's real? It's probably shot.
No, it's not. It's fake, but it's great because it's Bennett.
It is very funny.
What an interesting way to tell a story.
I feel like Mayor Emanuel should have been on there.
Mayor Emanuel was really good.
It might have been just local though.
Mayor Emanuel was like, it got pretty national, and like, that was a good kid. Mayor Emanuel was the fake Rahm Emanuel Twitter.
Oh, that's right.
Who was running alongside. So it was just this incredibly vulgar Rahm Emanuel who was just cocky. You know, Mayor Emanuel, he already fucking won.
I think he's still active, too.
And it was this incredibly complex story. If you go back, read the entire Mayor Emanuel, it's a story. You can read, the whole thing is archived. And it's incredible, up until the day he wins. And I think he's like some college professor or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and he just did it as a joke.
Chicago, I think.
But yeah, he got to meet Rahm Emanuel afterwards. And like,
awesome.
It was a really cool thing that like probably really helped Rahm Emanuel at least get a lot of youths to come out and vote for him.
Well, remember the so-called snake from... What was it?
It's pronounced
snake. Are you referring to when the snake escaped from the Brooklyn Zoo?
No, she's talking about Professor Snape. You're saying it wrong.
Turn to page
Snape.
3.
I did try to do Snape when we were all chanting
Snaping.
Snape. But this is really about the snake.
And somebody just set up a Twitter account for that escaped cobra.
Yeah, everybody was following.
There were animals that escaped from a zoo this year. I remember that happening.
Yeah, I feel like this year was a big year for animals escaping from zoos.
Oh, there's so
there
many zookeeper
movies.
A lot of them got shot, that crazy guy.
Yeah.
Oh, he let all his animals out?
I feel like that happens at least once or twice a year.
Dude,
but just no one
zoo breakout?
Yeah, I've seen one.
Favorite Colbert Show segment is Monkey on the Lam.
Yeah.
Okay, you saw... Animals break out of a zoo?
Yeah. It was
in Planet of the Apes.
No, it was in the
Escape from Earth.
The El Paso Zoo. The El Paso Zoo. I was there one random day. It was the one few things I remember when I was like six. And I was with my aunt, took me to the El Paso Zoo, and there was, I think it was a camel that just escaped. And it was running by the walking path where we were walking.
That's
so it wasn't
awesome.
It wasn't in our way, but I looked over and I saw it. I'm like, that's not supposed to be running there. Like, that's where people are. And people are getting knocked over by it. And I was like, that's crazy. That's nuts.
It's a fucking camel.
Yeah. Just like fucking going full force.
Camel on the land.
Camel. I like that segment entirely for that animation at the beginning of it, too.
Man, Camel on the Lamb is good. I'm going to see if that image exists. Camel on the Lamb is gold, baby. Nice job, B-Will.
Gold, baby.
Hey, does anyone know who won the Masters this year?
Probably some golfer.
It wasn't Tiger Woods. That kid almost won it. That young guy.
If he wanted to win, I wonder where he'd go.
Yeah. I know where he could go, LP.
Vince, what?
He could get
You've known this the whole time? Why didn't you call him?
Well, I just looked it up. Well, you were saying that last sentence. I just looked it up. Okay.
It's Rory McIlroy. That's who it is.
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. But why didn't Tins call Rory McIlroy?
Well, because James I didn't know McElroy. About...
Wait, his name's Rory?
It's James McIlroy.
Yes.
That's a girl's name.
Great act.
You're just saying that because of Gilmore Girls.
Yes. Lauren. Thank you, Mike.
Clouds golf tips.
McIlroy.
When your golf ball's inches away from the hole, whisper under its ear, inspiration. Tell it that it's good enough. Tell it that it belongs in a safe, safe tiny hole. And tell it that if it doesn't go in, then it's fucking fired.
This has been golf tips.
Home run.
Shoot him. Hey!
Where is the golf ball's ear?
It's in one of the pores.
Nice.
You have to find it.
Wow, you guys.
I liked the Steve Jobs kind of reference with the.
That was.
I tried. I threw that. Thanks for noticing, Lauren.
You're welcome.
You guys, can you believe that we only have 2 minutes left of podcast
no.
in 2011? Wow.
I'm gonna miss it.
How are we gonna spend it?
Well, I guess we could. Let Mikula say some nonsense at the end or something.
I like it.
Let's do it.
What are you opening over there?
We'll find out in a few words, I bet.
It could be anything, even trail mix.
I guess that means...
99 podcasts.
I guess that means it's time for Nick Mikula's
Seven Words of Wisdom.
Hey, next year, leap year, February 29th.
Oh, damn it. This has been Nick McCullough's
Seven Words of Wisdom.
He told us this coming up the stairs. He discovered that it was a leap year, and he nined us outside.
Yeah.
He's
like, I have to use it. I'm going to save it for the next time.
That was perfect.
I feel like
I'm so excited to say it.
Next week, in honor of the 100th podcast, could we do Nick McCullough's 100 Words of Wisdom?
No.
Yeah, I'm totally down for that.
I think that's a terrible idea.
No, that's okay. We'll reserve 40 minutes for it.
And then it'll be about Al Capone.
Keep telling.
How about we just give him a mic and not be there for it?
He has to pre-write his 100 words.
No.
I don't trust them. This is ridiculous.
My words are wisdom-filled.
I'll listen to it.
Yeah, they're wisdom-filled for sure.
But it looks like we're going to have to wait till 2012 for that.
Oh, no.
Don't forget, everybody, as far as our shows go, we've got Christmas off, we've got New Year's off, but we are back on the 8th, I guess that would make it?
Yeah.
Sunday the 8th.
And podcasting on the 2nd.
Yes. And that will be our 100th podcast. So be sure to check that out. We will also be drinking champagne for that one, probably.
Yep.
Thank you, everyone who's come to all of our shows this, entire year.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
How many have we done up to now? You said something.
We had 27 in the run, but we did 3 wrestling shows. We did CIF, we did LA, we did Oberlin, so that's another 3.
We did album release show. And a Titanic.
We did album release, Titanic, that's 2. And then we did a couple Crocodile shows in there.
I bet you we've done 45, maybe close to 50.
Yeah, we did the show on the Dell at I.O.
Yeah.
Did Oberlin, you guys did.
Yeah.
What a
We did the
Davenport.
And then we have a show coming up, too, at Second City.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Damn, you mean Tuesday the 27th at 10 p.m.?
That's exactly what I mean. Only
$10. Special audience member, Tim Meadows, maybe?
Maybe.
He said maybe. He told me in a message maybe, so I get to say that.
You can't prove this unless you're listening in the future.
Mm. Yeah.
True.
So, thank you guys again for an amazing year. We'll see you in 2012. Mm-hmm. Until then, have 8 days in a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Go run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.
puppets. Good puppets.